Okay, so I started off this simulcast asking what are some really good what's some important work that that people do. Hey, Tina, good to have you here. And Tori, good to have you here. Good morning. Let's see. Shelly says missions trips. Yes. And people are still saying good morning. Linda says school teachers and support staff. Yeah, absolutely. My mom or dad says listening to someone. That is very important work that we often neglect. Jane says feeding the homeless. Absolutely. And Jill says doctors and nurses. That is very important work. Susie says ministers. Yeah. And Jill says Freedom Builders, which if you guys are watching at home, Freedom Builders is the organization that we partner with at times to go and help neighbors improve their homes and fix up their houses. Misty over on YouTube says teaching, healing, giving what they have, even if there's not much. Absolutely. And Reed Benson says, good morning. Important work people do is raising kids. Yeah, amen. It's hard work too, but it's very important. Reed says, delivering things, especially in this day and age, right? Like raise your hand at home. Hit the love button if your online ordering has significantly increased in the last 5 months. I know mine has. Starting to know the UPS driver and the postal service people by name. So it's good. Yeah, there's lots of important work that we do. Who should we entrust with important work, though? How do we make that decision? Because if you're talking about me, I am going to say, okay, I've got important work to do. You know what? I need a hard worker. I need someone who is ambitious. I need a real go-getter. I want someone who gets the job done no matter what. That seems like the correct answer, right? You want someone who works hard and gets the job done because the work is important. Who should we entrust with important work? As we jump back into Paul's letter to the Philippians, he sends them two individuals, and he sends them two individuals for two different reasons, but they're the ones he chooses to entrust with important work, and he has reasons for doing that. So, read with me. And by the way, this sermon is both for people in church or a church ministry. So if you're looking to hire new church staff or you're looking to put someone in charge of ministry or possibly install new elders or deacons or trustees, this applies to that. But it also, or your children's workers, this also applies to the work world. Who should we entrust with important work? And the home life and every aspect of life. This is what Paul says in his letter. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character because he has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon. So, if you're at home right now, and I know you are on Facebook or YouTube, what I'd encourage you to do is write to me who is some of, and you can name them because this is positive, who has been one of your favorite coworkers and why? Who is one of your favorite people to work with and why is that? So Paul, he comes over here and he says, look, I am sending Timothy to you because he is trustworthy. He follows after me. He is as close as a carbon copy as you can get. And he will look out for your interests. I mean, think about how hard that is. Someone who is not primarily concerned with their own interests, but instead the interests of others. Paul also says, also the interests of Jesus Christ. Timothy loves Jesus. He loves you too. And he loves you more than his own basic wants, needs, and desires. He will look out for you. So who should we entrust with important work? We should entrust people who will look to the interest of others with important work. People who will go out of their way in order to serve others and not for their own greedy, selfish interests, not so that necessarily they will benefit in the long run. They want to serve you out of an abundance of love. People who can look to the interest of others. You know, the ancient Greeks, they tell a story of a young man, and this young man was the most beautiful young man who had ever lived in Greece. And the worst part about it is he knew it. He knew that he was absolutely beautiful. So he wasn't interested in his peers. He didn't give them any time because he knew he was far more beautiful and far better than the rest of them. One day, the story goes, he was walking down to the River Styx, and he caught a glimpse of his own reflection. And he looked at his reflection, and he was just enthralled by his own visage. And he began spending more and more time by the river, just looking at himself, realizing how much more beautiful and better he was than all the rest of his peers, than anyone else in Greece. Eventually, he spent so much time there that the earth just overtook him, and he turned into a flower. That's where we understand the Narcissus flower comes from. That's where this young man's name was Narcissus. This is where we get the word narcissist from. Someone who is so obsessed with themselves that it ultimately damages themselves and often those around them. When we have important work to do, whether it's teaching kids, whether it's raising kids, whether it is doing ministry, missions work, as some of you pointed out, whether it's doctors or nurses, we cannot be self-obsessed. If we are self-obsessed, we ultimately damage ourselves and the work that we're doing. We can accomplish nothing. Eventually, the earth comes over and, well, we don't turn into flowers, but everything we do gets destroyed. How much more so in the Church of Jesus Christ is narcissism not allowed? Unfortunately, we have become a culture of narcissists. We are increasing our narcissism, our self-obsession, our self-aggrandizing. And as we become more inwardly focused, as we become more self-focused, what you see is everything we do falls apart. It's true. Narcissists are very good at getting other people to do work for them and with them. Narcissists do get the job done. Narcissists are hard workers, but ultimately their intentions destroy the work. And we've seen that. Just look at the recent implosions of the last 10 years in some of these large churches in America that make headline news. Ultimately, the narcissism of usually the senior pastor, destroys the organization from the inside out. Narcissism is fun and it's cool and it seems to like get things done rather quickly, but the danger with people who are self-important, self-worshipping, arrogant, prideful, is that they will destroy the work that they're doing. It might not be a week, it might not take a month, it might not take a year, it might take decades, but ultimately, it all comes crashing down. And so Paul says, I'm sending you Timothy because he can look to the interest of others. He's not a narcissist. And so too, in our jobs, in our work, in our communities, as we're doing important work, we need to make sure that we are entrusting that important work with people who can serve the interest of others, even if they're going to get nothing in return. Not only that, but honestly, we need to, I think, regularly check ourselves and make sure that we're not becoming narcissists, and instead we will look out to the interest of others as well. I know I have to do that on a regular basis. In fact, many of you have pointed out that on most Sundays, before I start preaching, I pray, may I decrease so Christ may increase. That is not... A reality of my heart. That is a hopeful prayer that God will change my heart because I regularly need to mortify my flesh. I regularly need to take my pride and kill it so that I can serve others and I can love God freely the way I need to, not with my self-important understanding. Let's go to Facebook and YouTube. What are some of the people who you've loved to work with and why? Let's see. Lisa says, hey, Michelle H. Oh, hey, Lisa, good to have you here. And Shannon, good to have you online with us. And Marge and Don, good to have you guys here. And Sherry, auto mechanics. We need auto mechanics, certainly. That's important work. Mike says, people you've loved to work with, your wife, right? And you don't need to write a reason for that. She's fantastic. We love you, Barbie. Sharon says, favorite coworker, my husband, because he's a good person. Yes, Darren is an exceedingly good person. And I love working with your husband too, actually. Shelly says, good morning. And let's see. Shelly says, my favorite coworker is Christy Otto. Oh, you even tagged her on Facebook. Because when I'm having a bad day, I know she will always say something to make me laugh or smile again. Thank you for that, Christy. And Jane says, Chelsea, Denise, Brenda, and Judy. Sherry says, a few months ago when I was working from home, my cats were my favorite coworkers. Yes. Yes. And Susie says, Beth. Yes, absolutely. And let's see, anyone over at on YouTube? Yeah. Misty says, Julie at CFS, caring and beautiful person and personality. Jay says, Don Roof at Meyer, always focused on helping others succeed. Yeah, and the common thread with everything you're saying is these are people who are willing to put aside their wants, needs, and desires for the greater good of another person. They're willing to serve other people's interests, not just their own. Narcissists will sometimes serve other people, but just to further their own agenda. They will say nice things. They will do nice things. They will be nice and pleasant, but not to serve others, just to serve their own agenda. And so before you put someone in charge of important work, if you have that in your home, in your job, in your career, or even before you put yourself under someone, make sure they're able to serve others. You know, you might be at a large job and you have multiple bosses, and you might have a narcissistic boss. You know what? Don't follow them. Don't think I'm going to become like them. Do what you're called to do in your job, but don't try and become like them. Don't idolize them. Don't try to emulate or mimic what they're doing. Instead, recognize what they are and pray for them and decide, no, I'm going to serve others and not myself. I'm going to serve others' interests and not merely my own. Some of you at home might be saying, well, wait a minute, I've helped other people before. I've helped and I've served, and you know what? They've used me as a floor mat. You know what? I've helped and served, and they have chewed me up and spit me out. I've been hurt. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm taking care of number one because it hurts too much to help. It hurts too much to serve others. It hurts too much to put my wants, needs, and desires on the back burner to help other people. And if you're here and you have been hurt because you've served others, let me tell you, you have walked in the way of your master. You have walked the walk that Jesus has walked and the walk that he's called you to walk. It is very difficult when you give so much of yourself away and it is taken for granted, it is underappreciated, or maybe you are mocked or ridiculed, or others take credit for the hard work that you've done. And it hurts. So many of us just say, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. No more. But if you choose to persevere, like Jesus did, like Paul did, like Timothy, then what happens ultimately is you are building the kingdom of God here on earth. You are walking in the way of your master. If you give up now, you abandon the opportunity to change this world. Well, not change this world, bring a better world into this place, the kingdom of God. So I highly encourage you, if you're here and like me, you've been burned more times than you can count for helping others, acknowledge the pain, pick yourself up, keep moving on. We should entrust people who can look to the interest of other people with very important work. But you know, Paul doesn't stop there. Paul absolutely does not stop there. He has another kind of person who should be entrusted with very important work. This one has more to do with our work as Christians, but I think it can apply in our other aspects of life as well, including the working world. Read with me in verse 25. But I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. For this reason, I am very eager to send him so that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less anxious. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. So this guy, I got to look at his name again. It's so difficult. Epaphroditus. By the way, people name their kids Timothy. No one names their kids Epaphroditus. What's up with that? Anyway, so Epaphroditus was from Philippi. They sent them to Paul in prison to take care of him. And even though we don't know what happened, maybe he got pneumonia on the way, maybe he got sick, maybe he came down with some sort of illness, but he got sick on the way over. And instead of stopping his journey, he continued on and he was helping Paul behind the scenes because Paul is imprisoned. And back then, the jail didn't take care of your needs. You had to have people on the outside come and bring you food. You had to have people on the outside come and bring you bedding. You had to have people on the outside come and bring you basic necessities like water and a chamber pot and a pillow and other things like medicines and clothes, all of those things. And so they sent Epaphroditus to come and serve Paul's basic needs. And he got sick on the way, but he was so dedicated to the work of Christ that he went anyway, and even though it almost cost him his life. And this is a really big encouragement for many of us here who are like, I'm not a in front of the camera kind of guy. I'm a behind the scenes person. Well, yeah, Epaphroditus' work was allowed Paul's work to continue. Otherwise, Paul would be dead if it wasn't for Epaphroditus. And so his behind the scene work, his behind the scene hospitality, that counts as gospel ministry. It counts as gospel ministry. And Paul says, look, I'm sending him back to you right now, but I'm sending him as an encouragement, as a messenger, because you need to honor people like this who are willing to put the work of Jesus Christ ahead of the gospel. So who should we entrust to do important work? We should entrust people who are willing to put the work of Jesus ahead of their own lives, who are willing to say, look, even if doing the work of Jesus is going to inconvenience me or damage my life or hurt my life or even take my own life, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go and I'm going to do that hard work. Think about this, and don't answer at home, but in the American church, I don't think I've ever heard this slogan, but I know growing up in kind of the Christian subculture, I heard this sentiment anyway. Family first. Family first. If you are a Christian, you need to put family first. Do you agree with that? Do you think that that is correct? You have to put family first, because if our family falls apart, then the church falls apart and our whole community falls apart, our whole nation falls apart. You have to put family first. Nothing's more important than family. Family first. I mean, I heard that in radio broadcasts and songs and in some of the books I was reading. You got to put the family first. If you're a Christian, you got to put the family first. Nothing more important. The only problem I have with that is look at people in like in the 20th century, the missionaries Nate Saint and Jim Elliot. They took their families and they went to Ecuador to minister to the ultra-violent Wayodani tribe. And this ultra-violent Wayodani tribe, I mean, murder was a way of life. That is, they celebrated death and murder. And Jim Elliot and Nate Saint decided that they were going to go and they were going to try to bring the gospel to these individuals. And they tried for months, and ultimately they were martyred along with others. They were murdered by the Wayodani tribe. They left their families behind, their children without fathers. And truthfully, bringing them to Ecuador, they had a lot of criticism to begin with. Oh, they're not going to get as good of an education. Oh, you're taking them away. Oh, their diets are going to be changed. Family first, right? And now you leave your children fatherless. But ultimately, in the aftermath, the tribe converted and came to faith in Jesus Christ and stopped murdering each other. Ultimately, they were transformed, and God took care of their children. Yes, they missed their fathers, but He took care of His children. I think about family first, family first. I think about my good friend Kevin. His parents began to be missionaries in Peru. And they dedicated their life to bring the gospel to the Peruvians. And they spent their entire life there. My friend Kevin grew up in Peru. Family first. Grow up in the States. It's going to be better for them, right? They'll have better education, better food, better opportunities. And eventually, when Kevin turned 13, his family had to send him back to the States because in Peru, anyone who is 13, any male 13 or above, is conscribed into the army. And so they had to send him to family members in the States and have him grow up in the States in his teenage years with family members. And for years, as he shared his testimony, he resented it, absolutely resented it. And how could they do that to me? How could they choose to do this work over me? You know what Kevin's doing these days? Kevin's a missionary. He has been bringing Bibles all over the world. The sentiment family first. The family is so important, but it can't be more important than God. We will choose to make almost anything an idol. We will choose to make anything more important than God. And family sounds good. Oh, we got to have a family. But you know what? If you choose to put your family above God, you're ultimately going to hurt your family in the long run. God has to come first, and ultimately he will take care of and he will empower the family. It might be years, it might be decades down the road, but ultimately if you honor God, he will honor you. Put God first, not family first. If you put your family above God, you actually hurt your family in the long run. And so Paul says, I'm sending Epaphroditus over to you in order so that you guys know it's important that you put Christ above any other agenda that you have in this life. You put Christ above all things. You put his work, his agenda, his purposes before your own, and you will see everything transformed. Honor people like this, because you don't find people like this every day. So obviously in the church world, you want to find people who are willing to say, you know what? I'm going to put Christ's agenda ahead of my own, which is by the way, where, you know, you see some of these themed churches or churches that are kind of based around the senior pastor's preferences. And people have asked me some questions about, well, what do you want this church to be like? I don't want this church to be anything other than people who follow Jesus Christ, right? Because look, if it was up to me and we were going to build this around my personality, this would be comic book church. This would be heavy metal church. This would be rap music church. This would be classical music church. Dvorak, go look them up. Mwah, fantastic. This would be any number of bizarre things that I'm into. Action figure church. Right? This would be a whole bunch of things that... It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. We have to put him first and him above all things. But even in the working world, this doesn't mean you just hire a Christian over a non-Christian. But if you can find a believer who is qualified for the work that you're doing and you see that they have put Christ above all things in their life, that person who is can be trusted with that, they can be trusted with your job. God has trusted them with so much. You can trust them with your important work as well. They will be faithful to the Lord, and if they're faithful to the Lord, they will be hard workers to do what you want them to do. Some of you are at home and you're saying, you know, are you really asking me to put my family in harm's way? Well, not me. Maybe. Maybe, but let's be honest. I mean, very few of us is God going to call us to physically lay our lives down for the sake of the gospel. Very few. But look, can we put aside some of our things for the purpose of the gospel? Right? Can we say like, oh, if our kids are in sports and they have games on Sundays, we can go to the coaches and say, you know what, my kid's not going to participate on Sundays because we worship together as a family, and that's important. Can we put aside something like that? I know that's hard to do. But it's important. Can we say, you know, we're going to make a dedication to serve as a family in some location, whether if the church is doing a work day or we have opportunities to serve in the community? Can we do that to put aside our own wants, needs, and desires for the greater good of others? He's asking us to lay things down, not everything, but some things. It might be everything, but most of us, he's just calling us to lay some things aside. Can you come to church? Can you give up part of your morning to do a devotional with your family? Can you give up part of your evening to spend in prayer instead of passing out in front of the television? Can you make some phone calls during the week and encourage people that you know need encouragement with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we put the gospel of Jesus ahead of our own wants, needs, and desires, even if it's just a little? Who should we entrust with important work? We should entrust important work to people who know that the work of Christ is more important than their own lives. If you're here and you're saying, no, I've got my own agenda and I've got my own things, I'm doing those. Let me encourage you. Spend some time and ask God the Holy Spirit to search my heart and know me. And help me to love the things of Christ. Help me to love building the kingdom of God here on earth more than these other things. Show me how I can start. Help me to take small steps of obedience. If you're at home, what I want you to do is write to me, what are the good characteristics of a babysitter? What makes a good babysitter? What are the good qualities and characteristics of a babysitter? So Paul, he shows us here that if you have important work to do, you need to entrust it to the right kind of people. He entrusts it to Timothy, and he entrusts it to Timothy because he says, I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. So it's people who will have others' interests in mind. That's who you entrust important work to. That's who God will entrust important work to. And then you have people like Epaphroditus, who he says, honor people like this because he came close to death for the work of Christ. People who are willing to risk their lives, whether it's their physical life, whether it's a Sunday afternoon, whether it's a Monday morning, they're willing to give up some of their lives, if not their entire life, in order to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, in order to build the kingdom of God here right now, not to make the world a better place, but to bring a better world into this place. That's who he says to entrust. If you find people like that, that's who you entrust those important jobs to. If you are not having those characteristics, like I struggle with some of those from time to time, on a regular basis, if we're honest, ask God the Holy Spirit to change you, transform you. Help him to turn your heart from being inwardly focused to being focused on God and focused on others. Let's see, what are good characteristics of a babysitter? Reed says, honesty, patience, compassion, focus. Yeah, those are fantastic for a babysitter. Patience, my goodness. Let's see, Jill says, pay attention to the kids. Yep. Tori says, keeps the children safe while in their care. Amen. Linda says, dedication and commitment. For teen babysitters, put the child first. No distractions from phone or friends. Yep. Susie says, put the children first. Right? Right. You want someone with these attributes who is willing to put the children's interests in front of their own and who is willing to give up some of their life in order to make sure the children are safe, right? You don't want to hire a babysitter who, if the smoke detector goes off, hits the front door faster than anything, right? You want the babysitter, here's a smoke detector. Oh, let me go get the kids, right? Nope, there's a little bit of danger. I'm out of here. You don't want a babysitter like that. You want a babysitter who is going to look out for the safety of your child and saying, man, I'd rather be texting right now, but maybe I should stop Jimmy from swinging on the ceiling fan, right? You want someone who's able to give up their life a little bit in order to look out for their personal safety. So if you have important work that you're trying to find someone to fill and someone to do, look for someone with the attributes of a good babysitter. Or if you're here and I'm not, you know, like, I'm terrible with little children. I love my kids, but like little children, I'm not the greatest. But if I am watching them, I am going to make sure that they're safe, and I'm going to make sure that their interests are looked out. They might not have any fun in the process, but I'm going to make sure those things are happening. But in your life and in my life, make sure that you have the attributes of a good babysitter. That's the kind of person God entrusts important work to. That's the kind of person God will bring the kingdom of God into focus. You should entrust important work to people who can look to the interests of others and to people who can lay down their lives for the work of Christ, who can put aside their lives for the work of Christ. If you have important work to do, make sure you find someone who has the characteristics of a good babysitter. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we are struggling with Paul's words, I pray first and foremost that you'll change our hearts. Help us to not be inwardly focused. Instead, help us to be outwardly focused on you and on others. I pray for those here who are have been hurt terribly through their service. Minister their souls. Help them to realize that they are walking in the footsteps of their master. There is no greater calling. Help us to be servants. I pray for those of us who will have decisions in this church and in our ministries and in our work in the days to come, to entrust hard work, good work, important work to people. Help us to avoid the narcissists. Help us instead to look to people who are willing to put the interest of others forward. Give us wisdom, give us insight, give us discernment. Sometimes that can only come from God the Holy Spirit. So we ask that you give it, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.